You're with SBS Radio.
With me today is Shay Cox. She's a maternity and child sleep consultant for Sleep Play Love, and we are going to talk about the importance of sleep in our lives. Good day, Shay.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You are also known as the baby whisperer.
Yes, I am. I'm very, very lucky to be able to help desperate mothers in need of a good night's sleep.
As you told me before, you've heard it 1,000 times. Where were you when I had my first child?
Yes, that's a very common question I get. I always, where were you when I had my kids and they weren't sleeping? So we did find that we do have lots of desperate mothers out of there through the research that we've carried out.
And as new mothers, most new mothers wouldn't know what to do or would be grappling for advice left and right, and we'd be hearing advice left and right on how to get that perfect night's sleep for your child and for yourself, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. It does. I mean, sleep deprivation has a massive impact on all things in your life, and we saw through our research that 1 in 3 mums are struggling to cope and admit that lack of sleep is impacting their relationships with their babies. And also half of them reported that was also impacting the relationships that they have with their partner.
In the Philippines, we have this saying that you can play a trick on someone who's drunk, but never play a trick who's someone who hasn't had enough sleep.
Yeah, that's right. There was a reason why I think sleep deprivation was used as a form of torture, because you're just pretty much unable to function if you're not sleeping.
And a lot of mums have that in the first 3 to 6 months of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it carries on all the way through. I mean, research shows that I think it was 86% of children aren't sleeping. It's still under age 5. So it can carry on, but there's a lot more things that we can do in the younger years to implement some age appropriate routines and set them up for success later on.
We all know that all babies are different, or each child is different, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, definitely.
But overall, what is it that we can do so that we will be able to help our child and ourselves get the right amount of sleep?
Yeah, so as I said, I think it's really important to implement age-appropriate routines. Lots of the time we can minimise waking by making sure that our children aren't overtired, which is the main catalyst of bedtime resistance, overnight waking and early rising. We need to optimise their sleep environment, give them somewhere safe to sleep. So having a consistent room temperature, it's optimal to have your room set at 19 to 22 degrees. In those early months, especially from birth to 4 months, we really recommend the use of swaddling. Baby Love Sleep have developed a product called the Sleepy Hugs, which offers a sense of safety and security as it mimics the womb environment, and it gives that makes when they have a startle reflex, it muffles that reflex and stops babies waking themselves prematurely. So that's really important. We think it's really important also to establish a connection plan with your children. Parents, really need to look after their emotional well-being, both their parents, both the parent and the child, and really, concentrate, spend time playing with your children, engage in one-on-one quality time with your children and rough house and play, so that children have a chance to be able to release any fears if they have any around their time, which helps them sleep more soundly.
I've heard this many times when my children were infants, that, and you've mentioned it, a conducive environment for sleeping.
Yes.
But some babies are so used to really, really quiet environments that when you bring them to somewhere else, to a new home or when you go on trips,
yes,
they kind of look for that. What can we do to minimize the effects of things like that?
Yeah, so we encourage the use of white noise in the sleep environment, which is so it's a constant sound rather than having, because, I mean, when they're in the womb, they're constantly hearing voices and sounds and all different things. So if we could put them in a room where it's totally silent, then if there's a sudden noise, like a dog barks or, a sibling, goes down the hallway on their scooter or something, that's more likely to wake them. So if you can have something that's more a constant sound running all the time when they're sleeping, then that sort of just tries to, I suppose, muffle out those outside sounds.
So music, instrumental music?
Yeah, well, I mean, white noise or lullabies, as long as it's played continuously and it's, a constant sound, so then it's just, as I said, it muffles those outside noises.
So it's, or maybe leaving the bedroom door ajar a bit?
Yeah, you can leave your bedroom door ajar. That's you know, but then the sound can often change because it might be when they go to bed, it might be, you know, TV's on, parents are still up, siblings are still up, and then those parents go to bed and then it becomes totally silent. So by having that white noise, that just counteracts that change.
And as the babies grow older, their sleeping patterns change.
Yes, definitely. So that's why you really need to implement an age-appropriate routine. So the amount of sleep that babies need changes over time. Obviously, there's developmental leaps that happen that change their sleep. So it's really important to try and get a routine in there that's suitable for the age of your child and ensuring that they're getting the right amount of sleep at the right time, which minimises that overtiredness, which is the catalyst for waking.
Some people give them dummies.
Yes.
Is that a good idea?
It can sometimes help mothers that are desperate. So it's the only thing is when you want to remove the dummy, then that can sometimes be a difficult task and another sort of, I suppose we call it a sleep crutch. So you're introducing something that you're going to have to remove later. So it could sometimes become an issue when you're trying to remove it.
It's like that security blanket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so they're getting their comfort from that. So if we can provide the comfort that they need by, you know, obviously with the swaddling or the sleepwear, giving them all the, you know, the right sounds, the right temperature, the darkness in the room is good, and then, yeah, just really focusing on that bonding and connectioning during the daytime, then they're not craving that bonding and connection in the evening.
And I can attest to that right temperature because I realised that during the winter time, my children in the infant, when they were in their infancy, wouldn't stop crying in the middle of the night, but that's when the temperature drops.
Correct, yeah, so that's what often happens. So that's why we try and if you are in a position to be able to temperature control your nursery at somewhere between 19 and 22 degrees, it has a huge impact on sleep because if they wake, they haven't got the ability to be able to pull up a doona or, you know, recover themselves. So that's when they're going to cry out for your assistance to come and either re-swaddle them or, you know, pull a doona up or, you know, cover them up because the room temperature does drop, you know, as soon as you turn the heater off. So usually the room is it's colder somewhere between 4 and 6 a.m.
And how can new mothers catch up on sleep?
So new mothers can catch up on sleep. So as I said, if they've got an age-appropriate routine in place and their children are getting the sleep that they need, we need to reset baby's body clock so that they're sleeping at the right time. So they're having their naps during the day and they're getting enough sleep during the day to make sure that they get a good night's sleep. So if we can achieve that, then mothers should be getting a good solid night's sleep. They may have to do a feed depending on the age and stage of the child, but they should be able to settle quite quickly back to sleep and then mothers can, you know, catch up on their sleep when they should be sleeping, which is in the nighttime.
So we can organise that routine and we can introduce that routine.
Yes, that's right, yes.
We just have to be persistent.
Yeah, so it's really about being consistent and persistent in your message. And, yeah, as I say, if we can alleviate child's fears, which is a big one for the, for what causes the sleep disturbances. So by really connecting with them and having that bonding, which is what the mothers that are, you know, severely sleep deprived are saying, that they're losing that bond or the relationship with their babies. So it's, you know, let's put the focus back on that and really concentrate on and support mothers with their well-being. And we can't give from an empty cup. So call on your support network, use your family, use your friends and, seek help if you need it.
Thanks, Shay Cox, and sweet dreams.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You too.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.